Mona Awad's novel Bunny is a wicked satire of life at a graduate program for creative writing. In the novel, the grad student Samantha resents and envies her classmates in one of her workshops, and she refers to those classmates as the bunnies because they refer to each other as bunny. Their affluence and cliquishness reinforces her own academic, economic, and social struggles. But once they invite her to become part of their clique, she abandons her only friend and gets caught up in their strange rituals. And in the process, she risks losing her true self. Mona Awad is a Canadian novelist and short story writer. And yes, she attended and graduated from one of those creative writing programs. Mona Awad, welcome to KAZI Book Review.
Thanks so much for having me.
Mona, when I was reading through the novel being set in the fictional Warren University in New England, where your protagonist, Samantha, is entering her second year there, struggling economically, socially, she has some writer block, and she both hates and envies the bunnies, sort of her initially the antagonists who are able to subvert her. I kept thinking, Mona, when you were working on your Master's of Fine Arts, I was wondering, were you practicing any dark ritualistic type of magic to help you to get through?
No, not so much. However, there is something, I think, to the notion that there is like magic around the creative process, because I mean, at least for me, and I've heard a lot of writers talk about their work like this, it just there's something very mysterious about how it kind of all ends up coming together in the end, you know? There's no guarantees, and you can't really pin down the moment when your story starts to work. You know, it actually does kind of feel like magic. And then the reason why it stops working is also kind of mysterious. So I think that the idea of kind of linking creativity and magic and bunny did come from my own experience of the creative process, but no rituals apart from just writing every day, unfortunately.
So for me, the book was both witty, wicked, dark, and you're clearly having fun toying with the ideas of an MFA program taken to the extreme.
Right.
Was this your intention from the very beginning as you were thinking about your next novel? Were these your original thoughts, or did your thoughts sort of morph and develop along the way?
I think they sort of morphed and developed along the way. I mean, when I did my MFA, I remember thinking, wow, this is like definitely ripe material for a horror novel. You know, so many aspects of it have potentially sinister ramifications, you know. You're all kind of, separated from, you know, your normal life. You go to a new town, new people, you know, you're being asked to be very vulnerable, very imaginative, with just a group of people who are also being asked to be very vulnerable and very imaginative and kind of bare your soul to each other. So a lot can go wrong in that scenario if you just let your imagination kind of run. And we were all being asked to do that, you know? So that, for sure, I knew I wanted to kind of revisit at some point. And then I also was kind of interested, in writing a longer fairy tale. I'm very interested in fairy tale and very, very interested in the kind of the logic that fairy tales have, that kind of intuitive logic where just wondrous things happen and they're not explained, but we accept the wondrous thing, you know, like the magical thing. We don't know why the beast is a beast. He just is. We don't know why he talks. He just does, you know. And there's just something so magical to me about that. And then I think the two ideas, the MFA and the fairy tale, they began to kind of come together in my mind because, again, I do kind of see writing as magical and as wondrous. So it ended up becoming the same novel.
And I'm going to say this because this is really a compliment. This book is very accessible for those of us who have, you know, mundane degrees like I do in accounting. And so sometimes sometimes there is a fear, because for those of us who didn't come out of the liberal arts background, that the, and I'm going to put this in quotation, literary novels were not really written for the general public, that they're written for a slice of the public. But I found your novel just incredibly entertaining, and with the elements of a thriller. And I also thought, for me at least, that your novel really addressed some of the ways that class conflicts, in terms of this sense of feeling, Samantha feels sort of inferior, and both feels inferior and envious of her classmates from the workshop. And I thought you really brought to light those feelings of unempowerment, of feelings of, I'm kind of out here all on my own, to be surrounded by affluence while living in poverty.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's a very actually common experience just in post-secondary life, and for a lot of people who go to college, you know. And when I went to college, we would often hear stories about students who were living in their cars. So I had, you know, Samantha lived in her car for a little while. It's a real thing. And I think that notion of just of not belonging and wanting to belong and wanting to be accepted, even by people you don't like, but you want to be accepted. It means something beyond just like wanting to be accepted by those people. It's what those people symbolize, you know. And Samantha really struggles with that. I mean, she does come from a different class. She is in the minority because of that, and that's a very common thing in academia. And she, you know, she feels it. You know, she's kind of more defensive. She's more vulnerable. She's more dark-minded probably than she would otherwise be. It kind of forces her imagination to go to dark places, which actually generates a lot of the horror in the book. A lot of the horror just comes from her own sense of difference and how she's coping with that sense of difference. And she's an imaginative soul, so she copes with it in a really kind of, you know, elaborate and strange and dark way. But I actually do think, yeah, is a little universal. I mean, we've all wanted to be accepted by people we don't like, you know, because maybe they have more power than we do.
And of course, it helps her to be able to cope by having her best friend, Ava, essentially her only friend, who sort of helps to indulge her in turning up her nose at her affluent classmates.
Yeah, exactly. Ava's such an important character in the book because she does kind of symbolize, you know, yeah, there's a world that you do belong to. It's this other world, and maybe it's not their world, but there's power in that world if you claim it. You know, if you're willing to claim who you are, if you're willing to embrace who you are, there's a lot of power in that. And Ava is that voice in the book, you know. And so she's very important, yeah.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to KAZI Book Review on KAZI 88.7 FM. I'm Hopeton Hay. My guest is Mona Awad. We're talking about her new novel, Bunny. For me also, I think the book is also about making choices and how you can be co-opted and how attractive that other side is, and sort of the struggle. Do you leave behind your friends for the past? For me, exactly. Actually, if you look at rap music, and I remember listening to Ice Cube and Eazy-E and N.W.A., and there was a lot of discussion in the lyrics they were writing about Eazy-E's desire or to leave the hood he grew up in, Compton, to live on the other side of the tracks. And so part of this novel is also about her making choices. And does she leave her friend Ava behind? Does she go over? And I don't want to reveal too much of the plot. To some degree, of course, it is. But sort of this choice between who I chose to be versus the enticing, affluent, come take a look at this, you know, other side of the track.
Yeah, it's like, do I choose to be like them or do I choose to be myself? And even that is probably too simple because, you know, she chose to go there and that's where these girls are, you know, that she doesn't belong to. So she's already set her foot in a place where she's going to feel like a fish out of water. So she's already made that choice. And to be accepted by the people who are in that community is understandable, right? It seems to be what she's chosen for herself. And yet it will cost her. It will cost her so much. In fact, in the book, I mean, it cost her for her voice. And there's a constant struggle between that, between like claiming her voice and also just, you know, accepting where she is and the choice that she made to be there, the choice that she made to enter this program and encounter these kinds of people, who she is going to be intimidated by and who she is intimidated by, you know? So yeah, the novel really grapples with that. And Samantha goes back and forth, like I think we all do, you know? She's not quite sure what the right choice is for her. And these competing drives, she doesn't necessarily always know what to do with, you know?
So was there a smut salon when you were in your creative writing program?
There actually was. You know, it was famous. Like at least a few cohorts in the past, I know for sure, had done smut salons, but they're very, very different from what happens in Bunny. Yeah, they're kind of like just like a group of like a whole bunch of writers and also just people who are creative. In the Brown community and also in the RISD community, which is a, you know, an art college that's just close by. Providence has a really great art scene, and it would just be people sharing their work, you know, not necessarily smutty, but that they just called it that for kicks. But in the book, obviously, Smut Salon has a very different, it's kind of like an initiation rite for Samantha into this strange world that the bunnies have created for themselves, this very weird workshop that they do off campus.
I do love the initiation. And I think, you know, Samantha, if you didn't get a summary of the book and read the front cover, you really would wonder, I mean, of course, if you read novels all the time, you know something's going to happen, but you're thinking, Is Samantha really going to go to the dark side? Is she going to abandon her friend, at least dabble with it? And, you know, if we look at movie genres or specifically movies that kind of sort of deal with that, the first one that comes to mind, really the only one that comes to mind off the top of my head is Mean Girls.
Oh, yeah, that's so true, for sure. That's a really interesting one because she gets completely absorbed in and then she just becomes one of them for a while before she, you know, kind of reclaims herself. It's interesting that you bring that up, too, because teen movies were kind of a genre that I was thinking about a lot when I was writing Bunny, in part because there was just something about the scenario of going to art school that just felt very high school because it's very cliquey, you know? And I just kept thinking to myself, wow, like we're all adults. And yet there is kind of an infantilizing aspect to being back in school. I mean, just naturally there would be, right? And there are cliques and you're kind of being taken care of and you're kind of cut off from the world in a way and you're in your own world, your own bubble, and there's a shared language we're all using and, you know, we're all seeing each other every day. So teen movies were really useful in that way, you know, and the desire to belong because you're in such a small world is that much more intense. You know, it the stakes are really, really raised. You're feeling outside when you're just with a small community of people who are constantly, you know, together and you know, again, sharing their work and you're being asked to share your work with them. You not belonging in that scenario, you're going to feel it, you know. So Samantha's desire to belong in part, I think, is a survival instinct, you know, that's kicked in.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to KAZI Book Review on KAZI 88.7 FM. I'm Hopeton Hay. My guest is Mona Awad. We're talking about her new novel, Bunny. Now, I just saw The Matrix again. I introduced my 13-year-old daughter to The Matrix, and there's the famous scene where he has to choose between the blue pill and the red pill. And the blue pill represents blissful ignorance. And the bunnies are giving Samantha to help her to deal with the ritual, the blue pill. Now, is that just coming out of my own imagination, or were you sort of looking at that meme of the blue pill versus red pill?
Well, I mean, I love The Matrix, of course, but I don't think I was thinking about it consciously, but it might have informed, yeah, the choice for sure, because they were definitely drugging her and definitely the telling her to take this pill so that she could, in part, become more pliable and, you know, more brainwashable, you know, ultimately, and that she could withstand, because the bunnies, you know, they are doing something rather ritualistic and violent off campus, you know, and she's being asked to be a witness. So in part, they're protecting themselves, too. But I think, yeah, for sure. And it's also, you know, kind of a comment, too, on the fact that there are just a lot of drugs in college, you know. I mean, there are a lot of people, and they're not like always illegal drugs, you know. They're like prescribed anxiety, depression type drugs that a lot of people who are creative, you know, end up taking. And so the book is kind of commenting on that too, you know, on that culture.
One of the funnier parts of the novel is the way that her professors and others in the MFA program can't quite get her name right. So her name is Samantha, but she's referred to as Sarah, Sasha, Serena, Stephanie. It's almost like she's a nobody to them.
Yeah, you know, I think that that's definitely like a little fun that I wanted to have with that world, you know, because it's hard. I mean, they're just like, it's to some degree, you know, in MFA programs, and not necessarily the one that I attended, which, you know, there was only like a handful of us a semester, but it is kind of a revolving door, you know, of kids. And so I definitely wanted to have fun with kind of the more cynical, world-weary, you know, guardians of the gate who are seeing these kids come through, and how they must see that revolving door, and what that might say about the nature of these programs and how successful they really are at kind of creating individual artists, you know, who really go on to make a name for themselves, you know, in their chosen field, for sure.
I'm going to read to you some of the quotes I thought from the book, which was pretty interesting in terms of how Samantha feels about herself. So there's one part when she's waiting outside of the one of the bunnies' home, going to the smut salon for the very first time.
Oh, yeah, I love that scene.
Yeah, and her neighborhood is obscenely beautiful. Just a block from campus off a poshly quaint street lined with bistros that offer champagne by the glass. Unlike my street, which smells of sad man piss, hers smells of autumn leaves. So she's constantly being reminded by being around the bunnies, her classmates in the workshop, of their affluence versus her poverty.
Yeah, constantly. And it's, you know, it's definitely informing her choices with them. And it's definitely kind of accounting for her strange behavior. You know, she's very defensive around them, and she's got her guard up big time. And it's real, you know. I mean, in cities, you know, like the city in which a bunny takes place, which is a New England town, kind of based a little bit on Providence, where I went to school, there are those tensions, you know. There are those streets that have, you know, like the organic dog treats and, you know, and spas, you know, spas for dogs, and the organic, you know, and stuff like that. And then there are really, really kind of very seriously sketchy parts of town, and they're side by side, and there's kind of like a very real bubble around the school, but there's a bubble, but it makes you see all of the stuff that's outside the bubble as being very sinister and very separate from you. And that's part of what's generating the horror in the book as well, is that tension between those two worlds being so close together.
So have you ever experienced yourself a writer's block like Samantha experienced in school?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. And it's a scary thing because you don't know, you don't really know what's going to happen. Again, it's the creative process, right? So it's not like you can follow a recipe and you'll have a cake. Even if it's a shitty cake, you'll still have a cake. Like it's, you don't know what's going to end up unblocking you. But in the end, usually what happens for me, and I think what happens just to Samantha too, to some degree, is, you just have to start. You have to start writing. And even if it's terrible, you just have to start. It may not lead anywhere, but at least you're putting, pen to paper again. But yes, I have, and it's frightening for sure, because it's also a way to, it's a way to kind of ground myself. My imagination, like Samantha's, is pretty overactive too, and if I don't use it, if I'm not being creative and writing, I have all this energy, and all these like thoughts kind of swirling around, and that's not necessarily good for me. So it's important for me to write stories just as a way of kind of, coping with just being a person who kind of lives in their head, and is making up stories all the time anyway.
One of my best friends, his daughter got her bachelor's degree up in the New York area in English, and now she's literally heading to an MFA program in California this fall. And I don't know whether I should recommend that she read Bunny or not. What would you tell my friend's daughter who's getting ready to go through that MFA program?
I think a couple of things are important, like, to think about before you're going into an MFA, and one of them is just, where are you at with your writing? Like, where are you at with your kind of creative development? Do you have an idea for a big project, or are you still just kind of exploring? Because those two are very different. And so if she's kind of more in the exploratory sort of phase, then I would just say to go in there with like a pretty strong writing practice already in place that maybe she could start working on, in the next few weeks, where she just tries to like, okay, this is kind of going to be my practice, and I'm going to do this no matter what as I'm kind of working. I'm always going to have this writing time that I'm going to use, and it's my door closed time. I don't have to show this to anybody. I'm just going to work on this stuff. And then whatever they ask me to do is just on top of that. Just as she starts developing her own voice and maybe gets a sense of her project. If she goes in with a project in mind, in my opinion, that's better, because that gives you like a very good goal. Like when I did my MFA, I already had a few stories, almost 6 of the 13 stories of my first book, which was a novel and stories, 13 Ways of Looking at a Fat Girl, and which got published, it was my first book. And I was about halfway through that book when I went and did my MFA. And so my goal for myself was to complete it and to have it ready to be submitted to agents when I got out of school. And I met that goal. So I think the kind of experience you have at an MFA program is going to be determined by your knowledge of your own voice, your project, and also the financial planning too is important. Just making sure that when you leave, you won't be in too much debt. That's important as well. Just so that you have like you're standing on 2 feet when you get out. So that's what I would say. I do think she should read Bunny because it's going to be a trip. Hopefully she'll just, because it's, the book is essentially about a writer who does find that even though she's completely insecure and she's, vulnerable and she's an outsider and she doesn't belong and everything else, she ends up has an incredible creative experience, that feeds her soul and changes her,
you know, pretty good.
Well, so, it could also prepare to think about the workshop experience and how to deal with being constantly criticized by four perfect affluent girls in your class.
Yeah, exactly. That's important. It's important to go into workshop having a sense of your own voice so that you can filter the feedback that you get, you know, so that you can say, this is useful to me, this is not as useful. Just so you don't get led astray, because that's the danger. The danger is that you'll get feedback that will push you in another direction, and it might actually not be the direction that is good for you and for your voice and for your work. But people can, you know, make pretty good cases, because everybody in the room is pretty smart, you know, and everybody has their own sets of tastes and their own backgrounds and their own voices at the table. And so learning how to kind of filter is important. That's why I recommend if your friend's daughter,
if she has a couple of close friends that she can share her work with who are not part of the NSA, if she has those people on the side, because I had that and that helped me a lot. Although my peers were very great in workshop. They were not like the bunnies.
That's
like the worst case scenario. But it's real. It's real, the workshop being overwhelming. It can be. And so it's good to have people who are not in it to read your work and tell you what they think, that you trust.
Well, is it both having a sense of voice and also a sense of your own worth? So if you have tough workshop partners, that you don't lose your sense of self?
Yes. Exactly. That's a really hard thing to kind of manage, because most writers who go in are younger and they don't quite have that yet. You know, there's very few writers who go in young, really with a strong sense of their own voice. It totally happens. It's just not as common. So that's why I think the separate kind of writing practice that's just for her, just for you, if you're going in, anybody who's listening is about to start an MFA program, is just having that kind of practice and getting a real sense of who you are, so that you can go in able to navigate that, able to navigate all the different voices at the table telling you what they think you should do.
Mona Award, author of the novel Bunny. Do you have a website and social media information you can share?
Yeah, so it's monaawadauthor.com, my website. And then on Twitter, it's monaawadauthor. And on Instagram, it's Miss with three S's, read, as in read a book.
Thanks for being a guest on KAZI Book Review.
Thanks so much, Upton.